Good morning and welcome. I'm glad you're there.
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
So listen, first things first, you're in Greystones, I believe. Is that where you are?
At the moment, this is where Francesco lives.
Lovely. So it's a beautiful part of the county. It's a gorgeous place. You can walk the beach and everything and enjoy the sunshine.
Oh, it is gorgeous, especially on days like this. Happy to be here.
And I'm glad. Well, I'm happy you're there too. Listen, Rhiannon, firstly, we haven't chatted for a while because I remember it was tomorrow's my turn when we chatted before, a while ago now, it seems to me. But look, you've a brand new album out. I've been listening to it. It is so, so special. Congratulations. It's really good. Well, it's not just you, of course. Mr. Francesco Tarisi is on it as well, of course.
Yes, it's definitely a product of the two of us, you know, making music together in lockdown. And yeah, I'm just so thrilled that people are responding to it because it was a real emotional moment for us of creativity, you know.
Well, it's bringing all these different aspects of your life and his life together, presumably in a musical way. And that obviously is pretty exciting from your point of view, yeah?
Absolutely. You know, we've been thinking a lot about, you know, where we come from as we've been making our home in Ireland for a while now, but not being able to go back to our birth homes has really kind of made us think a lot about what does it mean to be an expat and how do you kind of gather some of those aspects, you know, around you even here.
Well, absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm thinking of your background and the fact that there are so many parts of your life that you can call on when it comes to your art. There's so many areas that you can call on. And I'm thinking about the title track. By the way, the album for everybody is They're Calling Me Home. The title track, it's so haunting. It just grabs you immediately.
Well, it grabbed me. You know, Alice Gerard is a stalwart, amazing member of the Americana and bluegrass community, and has been for years. Wrote this song some years ago, and I always was really struck by it. But what I found was, you know, in the last year, I kept wanting to sing it. You know, it just, there was something about it that was so incredibly comforting, even in its discussion of death. It's just sort of, you know, thinking about it as something that's a natural part of life, and how do we say goodbye in a way that is, you know, joyful as well as sad, you know?
Well, exactly. And I mean, we've all been living this particularly peculiar world for over a year now, all over the world, and no country seems to be unaffected. And the fact, as you said yourself, you can't go home. And at home, who is at home? When you say home, I'm talking about your birthplace over in North Carolina. Who's there now?
Well, my parents, you know, my sister, my, you know, aunts and uncles, like all my extended family. And
everyone's there pretty much, yeah.
Everyone's there, and I haven't seen any of them since last January, and usually see them several times a year because I work in the States a lot. It's been really, you know, they haven't seen my kids, and my kids have been like, my daughter's like grown 2 feet in the last year, so it's really hard, but, you know, as much as technology is a pain, we also can connect through it. So luckily, we've at least been able to talk. But it's been a long, long time.
Yeah, it surely has. Well, we should explain, just to give people a sense of this piece of music, Calling Me Home, just before we play it, because your background, it's European-American and it's Native American and African. So it's all of that mixed in there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a product of you know, the cultural mixing that has gone into North Carolina for a long time.
Got into America for a long time.
Exactly. And it all comes out when I do any of it, whether it's from the black side or the white side or whatever. There's no side.
No. It's all front. It's all front with you. Yes, well, here it is. This is Calling Me Home from the brand new, just the title track, They're Calling Me Home, from Rhiannon Giddens.
An old friend lay on his dying bed, held my hand to his bony breast, and he whispered low as I bent my head, oh, they're calling me home, they're calling me home. My time is come to sail away. I know you love
And it's a beautiful track, yourself with there, Francesco. Now, of course, Francesco plays all manner of instruments, just like you.
Yeah, well, he plays a lot more than I do.
Yeah, well, I know. But what I found interesting was the instrumentals on the album. There's a track on the album I'm very drawn to. Is it Newell? Do you pronounce it Newell? N-I-W-E-L. Newell Goes to Town.
Yeah, Newell, yeah.
Newell Goes to Town.
Yeah.
It's so Irish.
I love that. I love that's what you hear.
What I hear.
It's fantastic, you know, and that was one that I just kind of came up with in a sound check sometime, and then me and Francesco were playing it, and we invited Newell, who's a fantastic guitarist. I mean, he's originally from the Congo, but he's been in Ireland for a long time.
Yes.
And we just invited him to play on that, and we were just so thrilled with the result. But I love that you hear that, because I
think
in that
I hear.
Track, you hear... You know, there's a lot of different things going in there. So that, actually, I think is the coolest thing ever.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Because, I listened to it and I thought, I said, I know this. It's ancient. Of course, it's not. But it's that funny moment where you listen to it and you just go, wow, he's a great player. I've interviewed him, but I didn't realize that was him. I didn't know it was him. Isn't that kind
of... We named the track after him because it didn't have a name. And there was one point where we were like, okay, you just go to town on this, like, you know, whatever you feel. And then I was like, that's the name, Newell Goes to Town.
So that's great. Wonderful. Well, is that you and the banjo?
That's me on the banjo, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What if Francesco, he was on tea. Was he making tea? What was he doing on that, Francesco?
Well, he was Italian, he was playing frame drum.
right.
Yeah. So the other instrumental, I think he's playing guitarra patente, I think. He's playing come back on Newell Goes to Town, yeah.
Yeah,
so there's a couple instrumentals. But yeah, he's always the glue. He holds. It's just how he adapts to all the different sounds that he makes is just so amazing.
Yeah, well, people need to hear this. It's just terrific. I'd be interested to see if people feel as I did that it had that Irish twang. That's gorgeous. This is Newell Goes to Town. It's beautiful from the album, and the album called They're Calling Me Home from Rhiannon Giddens.
Thank you.
Alan, you sound in great form, I have to say, for a girl that's not been back to Carolina for a while.
Well, you just have to make it, you know, you have to live the day that you're given. And
yeah.
Because it's a blessing no matter where you are. And, you know, I've been just adapting to being here, all, you know, full time. And you're saying you heard the, you know, the Irish twang in that tune. And, you know, Ireland plays a big part in this record. You've been
here a long time, let's face it. So, you know.
Yeah.
The influence is inevitable, isn't it?
I think so. And we've just been able to find so many amazing people to work with, you know, that maybe we wouldn't have if we were doing the original concept of the album we were going to make in California and all that stuff. So
yeah.
We really had an opportunity to put together an amazing team here, you know, from Ben Rawlings on sound and Laura Sheeran on video and Karen Cox doing the photos. And we've just put this whole kind of Irish team together, even and also the players, you know, from
the
UL
photo,
to
Eber. I saw the photo on your Twitter page is fantastic. It's a beautiful photograph. That's a new picture, I take it, is it?
I've been so amazingly lucky with photographs, and you know, Karen Cox is based in Ireland, and she's been taking photos now for a few years of us.
But she has to have the subject, you see, has to have the subject.
I know. Yeah, but she's amazing.
Take that for what it is. Yeah, take that for what it is. By the way, on the cover, are they the wings of an eagle by any chance?
No, they're crows.
Oh, crows? Are they?
Oh. Yeah.
I thought eagle because I thought of America again. I thought that maybe was, you know, that symbolism. So you see, I'm completely off the track again.
It's all right. You know, crows have been the kind of imagery of crows have sort of snuck in and around this record. I mean, obviously there's a song called Black as Crow, so that kind of, you know, brings that in. But, you know, the bird imagery has sort of filled in around, you know, how we're looking at the record, which I love.
Yeah.
So much.
Have you a favorite on it? Because I mean, I could say to you, oh, let's play, oh, I don't know, Waterbound, for example, which just reminds me of a farm. It's wonderful, wonderful imagery there. What would be one of your favorites on the album?
I mean, I have to say that is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, good.
You know, because there is a moment of it's myself on viola and Francesco on a calabash,
yes,
and Ewell's playing guitar, and you know, this song is about being waterbound and not being able to go home. And I'm sitting here thinking, here we are, three expats from three different continents, you know, gathered, you know, in Ireland playing this song about being waterbound. And it just really kind of struck me as a really special moment. And I love the sound.
Well, I loved it too. I loved it too. As I say, I just suddenly imagined a farm for some reason. Anyway, let's have a listen to it. Rhiannon Giddens. One of the things about the album, we better mention Ben Rawlings. We better mention him properly now and give him a plug, because apparently he's been vitally important in this particular project.
Yeah, he's just absolutely indispensable. Like, we couldn't have done it without him. And, you know, Francesco's worked with him before, and we've worked together a little bit, but this was a real opportunity to just, you know, get in. Hellfire Studios, also, we should mention them. They're just outside of Dublin, but it's speaking of the farm, it is a studio on a working farm.
It's all coming together now.
It's all coming together. You pull up, there's the cows, there's the hay, and there's the full studio. It's fantastic. Yeah. And Ben just, you know, we couldn't have done it without him because he knows how to record acoustic sounds. He knows how to record all the different instruments. He knows how to get the voice, and he knows how to do it in a way that allows us to, you know, because we did it very quickly in 6 days. We recorded everything.
Now, what's the 6 days? We interviewed Declan O'Rourke, and he has an album which is just out. Also, he spent 6 days putting it together. What is this about? Are you resting on the 7th? Is that what's going on here?
That's kind of the obvious one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
we really go in and we create the song as it is in that moment. You know, we don't do a lot of overdubbing. We don't do a lot of editing. And, you know, Ben is so good for that. You want somebody who's going to capture the sound as it is, not thinking about, oh, we could fix this and fix that. No, it's just like, we're going to get that performance.
And it's that feeling that it's more real, therefore, what you put out.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it suits what we do. Francesco and I are both performers like that. And you can't have a moment like, you know, where I'm humming, he's playing frame drum, and Emer Mayock is playing Ilan Pipes all in one room. Yeah. You can't do that with an engineer who doesn't know what he's doing, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's what we did. And it was he was absolutely fantastic.
But I love the idea that you play it as live. I think that's a terrific thing. I really do. I think it's very special.
And it's as close as we can get at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's true. Are you doing any online stuff? Are you going to do any launch online or play it online or anything like that?
You know, we've been doing streams and doing lots of lectures and things for universities, which has been great. But we are definitely looking forward to getting this record on the road and actually playing for people. But, you know, it's all very up in the air at the moment.
Well, but there's no plan to do it online or anything like that. No, not for the moment. No.
Well, we're part of the upcoming Carnegie Hall. There's a festival that they're putting on, and we did some of the songs from the record for them. So that'll be coming out very shortly.
Yeah.
That'll be our, I guess, album launch concert.
I mean, that's fine. Incidentally, I probably should have called you Doctor, really. I'd forgotten about your Doctor of Letters. I probably should have referred to you as Dr. Giddens, shouldn't I?
Well, I mean, I have an honorary one.
That's fine. You're still a doctor. You're useless medically, but you are good in other ways, and that's fair enough.
Well, we're both of us very much into the, you know, the history and
I know that.
Learning as much as we can. So it's a big part of what we do for sure. This probably is probably the most emotional record that I've done in a long time in terms of it just really was an emotional response to all the things that have been going on in the last year and a half. And, you know, less on the books, more on the
the heart.
On the feels.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, if you're talking about emotion, I was blown away by Amazing Grace.
Thank you. That was a moment.
talk to me about the idea of doing it and how you came. It's just phenomenal. It's just phenomenal. I just you'd be silent, just rock to stony silence, listen to it. Tell me about doing it. Tell me about recording it and the version.
Well, you know, Francesco had this idea of the drum beat that he's doing. It's not a groove. It's kind of laying down a drone almost because, you know, the drums that he plays are tone. They have a tone to them. And he said, well, you know, what could you sing over this? And I just started humming Amazing Grace because, like, back in the States, you know, every funeral ends with a bagpiper playing Amazing Grace, right, with no words. And I just kind of had that sound in my mind. And so we loved the way that went. And so when we were working on this record, we were like, oh, we should definitely do that. And then since Emer Mayock, who's a fantastic trad musician, was going to be coming in as a guest, we're like, let's do it with her pipes, because then we can, you know. And it just happened, and we're like, let's do it in one room, let's not try to overdub it, let's just. And so there's a moment where she comes in, and then I start singing with her, I'm humming with her, and I'm trying to, like, you know, meld my voice with her sound, and it's just all the molecules in the room are vibrating together. It was a really special moment. We couldn't have recorded it any other way, than to do it together.
It's just beautiful. It is so It's poignant, and it does. Do you know what it is? And don't take this the wrong way. It feels like there's an emptiness in it, but there isn't. Do you know that sort of thing? It's plaintive, is what I'm trying to say. And it really, I found it very affecting, to be honest with you. I was going to say, I wonder what John Newton thinks, but we'll have to find out another day. The man responsible for it. Anyway, that's a different argument altogether. But listen, we finish on Amazing Grace because I think it's quite special, and I wish you were in here playing it and talking to us and everything. But look, it'll happen one day. One day. I'd love to think that you'll be in a not too distant future able to perform the entire album on stage. Is that something that you'd look forward to? Because I noticed that a number of people are now putting in proper dates. In the States, for example, I see James Taylor's doing Tanglewood and stuff. So now it's open air and it's people well separated. But would that be a hope that yourself and Francesco, would the two of you, would be able to do that live?
I mean, we're certainly hoping. I mean, right at the moment, Francesco can't even get into the United States, so we're kind of, you know.
Yes, of course.
Even just that issue is an issue. We've got some dates in September that we're crossing our fingers that, you know, hopefully a lot of this will be resolved by then.
Yeah.
But until then, you know, hopefully there might be some things that come along in Ireland
that would be better. Yes.
You know, which would be fabulous. So we're just kind of, you know, waiting and ready.
Doesn't need to go to the States. He can stay here and play. Don't worry about the States. When somebody says that, but he can't get into the States, you kind of say, oh yes, there was that bother, wasn't there? And it sounds like a joke. We should explain, there is no bother. It's just the world that we inhabit. That's the difficulty at the moment. It's nothing else.
Exactly, yeah.
Because people will ring us and say, what did he do? Why can't he get in?
He's not being blacklisted from the state.
No, he has not. McCarthy year is well behind us. So listen, thank you so much for joining us today, Rhiannon. And I love the album. It's gorgeous. Well done, you. And here's Amazing Grace to take us out. Take care. You and Francesco, by the way. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM.